If you want, you could turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 1. We'll be there for a lot of time during the message this morning. Now, Luke chapter 1 is really the beginning of the Christmas story. And as you think about the Christmas story, what were the first recorded words that Jesus spoke? Think about that. Now, we know he didn't cry in the manger because away in the manger, remember, we sing "No Crying He Made," right? If you believe that. But those weren't recorded words, obviously. He cried, but it's not recorded. His first recorded words in the New Testament are in Luke chapter 2, but we're in Luke chapter 1. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus said to his parents, remember, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I would be about the Father's business?" You know, today we're going to talk about what needs to be the main thing in our lives as Christians. The Father's business for each one of us, if you will. It's the primary way that we truly do seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that all the other things are added unto us. How do we primarily seek first the kingdom of God? It all begins with our prayer life. It all begins with prayer. In fact, without a consistent prayer life, it is impossible for us to really know the peace that God wants for each of us to experience as his children. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." It's keeping our mind stayed on him. It's keeping our heart focused on God throughout the day. It's that mindset, that lifestyle that is going to lead us into those green pastures, lead us beside those still waters to enjoy the peace of God as we pray throughout the day and fellowship with him. So today, like Pastor Aaron mentioned, we're going to focus on our third message in this knowing series, Knowing Peace. So our first two messages, remember, the first one was Knowing God. Last week we talked about knowing purpose, today is knowing peace, and then next week is knowing others. And there are notes, by the way, we're starting to print them on Sunday mornings, so they're on the connection table, they're in the back on that table as you come in through the door, if you'd like to grab a copy of notes through this series, and we're going to be doing that moving forward in the months to, forward, and they're online as well, so if you're joining us online, you can print those from online, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you want us to know you. And Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Lord, we know that knowing you is really central to our relationship. Lord, it is the main thing. It is the Father's business, Lord, to be known by us and to know us, Lord. What a confidence, what a comfort, Lord, knowing that we are your children, knowing that we can fellowship with you and come into your presence anytime, any day. So, Lord, teach us and encourage our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So knowing peace begins first with knowing your prayers are heard. I mean, knowing your prayers are heard is key to experiencing the peace that God wants to give to us. So in Luke chapter 1, it begins with the story of Zacharias. You might remember this. In verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Those were his first words. Don't be afraid, because your prayer is heard. We first see that God's word declares, remember, that Zacharias and Elizabeth were blameless before God. They were righteous before God. Not that they never sinned, but they were righteous according to the requirements of the law. They walked in the ordinances and the commandments of the Lord. You and I could say they were at peace with God. They had a right relationship with him. So they were experiencing peace with God, right? As we look at the topic of peace and knowing peace, there's kind of two sides to that coin. First, knowing we have peace with God, and secondly, knowing the peace of God. So first, we need to know that we have peace with God in order to ever experience the peace of God that only his child can experience. Knowing that we have peace with God, as we look at Romans chapter 5, it says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So let me ask you a question today. Are you experiencing the peace that you know God and everything is right between you and the Lord? Because you can. You can experience that. God wants to have a relationship with every one of us. And it begins by receiving Christ into our lives, acknowledging him as our Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross for our sins, so that our sins can be cleansed, so that we can have peace with God. If you're here today and you haven't experienced that, I just want to encourage you. After service, we have prayer people over here that will pray with you and encourage you in how to have peace with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every minute, it's estimated, get this, that there are 500,000, that's a 500,000 gallons of water that go over the edge of Niagara Falls every minute. Well, one day in March 29th of 1848, suddenly the falls stopped. Can you imagine the people that lived near the falls as they woke up that morning to that eerie silence? Nothing could be heard. Some actually thought it might be a sign that it's the end of the world. What happened? Well, the falls were dammed up for a 30-hour period before the rush of water resumed. And we found out that heavy winds had set ice fields up in Lake Erie in motion, and tons of ice jammed the Niagara River about the area of Buffalo, and it stopped the flow of the river until that ice shifted. And it's the same with you and I. The Bible tells us that our sins block the flow of God's grace and his peace and his goodness and his love in our lives. So sin and guilt can, like those ice blocks, they can actually cause us to be frozen in our own ways and unwilling to surrender our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. So God wants us to know that we have peace with him. But he also wants us to experience the peace of God that only he can give us. So knowing we have peace, the peace of God, in Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, right, will, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we can only experience the peace of God as we continue in, what does the scripture tell us? In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do you experience that kind of peace in your life today? Are you experiencing that peace of God today? If not, it may be simply due to a lack of faith. Yeah, Hebrews 11:6, it says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He wants to reward us with his peace. That's one of the rewards of diligently seeking God. You might remember that Pastor Arian has mentioned the importance of faith in God in our first two messages about knowing. It's integral to knowing God, knowing purpose, knowing peace, and knowing others. Faith in God is integral to all of that, isn't it? In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say this. The vitality of our prayer life is a gauge to the true condition of our faith in God. How vital is your prayer life? How alive? How real is it? How refreshing is it? The vitality of our prayer life is a gauge. It's a needle, if you will, that indicates the condition of our faith in God. Look at the angel said to Zacharias in verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Do you think that Zacharias believed that God heard his prayers all those years that he had and his wife Elizabeth had prayed? For decades they had prayed, no answer, no child. Do you think he believed they were heard? I hope so. We don't know. But I'll tell you what, his peace was dependent on it. If he didn't believe that his prayers were heard, then he was praying with frustration, anxiety, possibly resentment, possibly feeling bewildered about God abandoning him. Where are you, God? Are you even listening? Yeah. It's only when we have faith that our prayer is heard. But if they did believe that God heard their prayers, then they were able to experience peace. Think about that. For decades of unanswered prayer. And I might say, probably the greatest prayer, the most desperate prayer, prayed the longest and with the most tears of their entire lives. How could they experience peace? Only because they knew God does hear. We just don't understand why we haven't gotten the answer yet. That brings us to point two. Knowing our prayers are answered. That's another part of knowing peace. Knowing that our prayers are heard and also answered. Look at verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a child, and you shall call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the power and the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So not only does the angel announce that Zacharias' prayers are heard, but also now he also announces and declares to him, your prayers were answered. Yeah. Now, that's got to bring him peace. Amen? You know, I heard a story about an old Italian man who lived alone out in the country, and he was a tomato farmer. And he had a son, his only son, Vincent, was in prison. And so one day he wrote his son a letter describing his predicament. He said, "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty badly because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig the plot for me. Love, Dad." A few days later, the father received a letter from his son. "Dear Dad, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vinny." Well, the next day, FBI agents had screened the son's letters in prison and contacted the local police, who contacted the SWAT team. They showed up at 4 a.m. at the father's farm, and they were digging all around trying to find those bodies. A few days later, the father received another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant those tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny." Now, I want to ask you a question. If Vinny, the Italian convict in this story, could figure out a creative way beyond the father's imagination how his need could be met, don't you think our Heavenly Father is more than capable of answering our prayers in ways that we could never imagine? Never imagine. In fact, I want to share with you an event that happened in my life that's very similar to this, where God answered my prayer, just a short little prayer that I prayed all by myself in the quietness of my heart in such a powerful way. So many of you know that we are the product of two small churches that combined a little over 2 years ago. So how's that? Over 2 years ago. Amen. Amazing. Yeah, that's something to praise God for. Now, we actually, Pastor Aaron and I, we started talking and just praying about the possibility of doing such an insane thing as merging two churches a year and a half before the merger took place. So it wasn't like a quick process at all. We really carefully, prayerfully, and fearfully went into this endeavor, because if we had any advice to give anybody that was going to merge two churches, we would tell them, make sure that God is in it, because it is difficult. It's not easy to merge two churches, because change is going to happen, and people don't like change, do they? In fact, the wonderful thing is, a third of you here are the product of the new church, and we are so happy that you have joined this new church and become part of this new family. And what's neat about it is that it kind of puts everybody more on an equal footing, doesn't it? Because it's not like this whole group has known each other for years. Parts of the group have, but the whole of us are still learning and developing relationships with new people. It's wonderful. So anyway, we both, Pastor Aaron and I, were seeking God, and our boards, by the way, were seeking God for divine confirmation that we should do this crazy endeavor. And so remember, we did that pulpit switch, you might remember, where Pastor Aaron came over here and spoke at our church, and I went over to Kingsfield and spoke over there. And the first Sunday I spoke at Kingsfield was June 16th, 2019. And it was an amazing time, because after the service was just concluded, this couple walked across the aisle and welcomed Lori and I and introduced themselves to us. And you might know them. It was Josh and Jen Blunt. And so we got to talking with them. And as we finished our conversation, actually before we finished our conversation, as we were talking, by the way, I have not told anybody but Lori, me, and Pastor Aaron know this story that I'm telling you right now. The Blunts don't even know. If you're online right now, here's your story. So anyway, we're in the conversation, and literally I had that deja vu moment. It's like, I know these people. And the Lord brought me back and reminded me that I had seen them. They didn't have their children with them at the time in the church there as I was talking to them, but I had seen them 6 to 8 months earlier at a restaurant or somewhere. I don't know where I saw them, but I remember seeing them. I think it was at a restaurant because I think they pray with their kids before the meal, but I was taken by the way they were interacting their kids and loving their kids. And you know, they've got 5 or 6 kids, you know, I think they have 6 kids now, and back then it was 5. And they had this group of kids, and just how caring, and you knew they were Christians and they loved their kids. And I just remember sitting at the table, and I just prayed a little prayer to God. I said, God, it sure would be nice to have neat families like this with that many kids in our church too. That's all I prayed, because we didn't have a lot of kids. We had some kids, but we didn't have any families with 5 kids. And, you know, how cool is that, that God actually answered that prayer in the merging of 2 churches with the exact same family they actually prayed about? It blew my mind. I told Pastor Aaron, like, the next week when we met, I said, you won't believe this. And he's got some other stories you won't believe as well. But God has ways of answering our prayers that are beyond what we could ever imagine. And you know what? There are some prayers that you and I pray during our lifetime that won't be answered until after our lifetime. Do you realize that? Yeah. Matthew 7, verses 7, 8 says, ask, Jesus says, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Many of you know that word in the Greek, ask, seek, and knock, those words all carry with them the idea of ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Why? Because sometimes the timing of our request is not yet. You remember going on a long trip with your kids, and of course they're always asking, are we there yet? And what's your answer? No, not yet. In fact, you were kids at one time too, right? Let's face it. And we all said to our parents the same thing, are we there yet? And what was the answer? No, not yet. That didn't mean you weren't going to arrive at the destination. It just meant that you weren't there yet. And that's how it is with some of our prayers. It's no, not yet. But it's knowing that our prayers are heard and knowing that our prayers are answered, even if they're not answered in the way we always expected or even wanted, that will cause us to have peace when we have faith, knowing that he hears and he answers our prayers. Now, I didn't say that all our prayers will be answered in the way we want them to be answered. In fact, there are prayers that I prayed in the past that I am very thankful to God today that they weren't answered the way I wanted them answered at the time, right? But I am saying that only that all of our prayers will one day be answered, listen carefully, in a way that is part of God's plan for our lives and the lives of others. So all our prayers will be answered one day in the way that's part of God's plan for our personal lives and for the lives of others. If we truly believe that God is good and he is wise, then we can have peace while we wait. Andrew Murray said this, beware in your prayer above everything of limiting God not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can do. Isn't that the truth? So we can trust God to answer our prayers even when we don't see how or when or why he hasn't responded yet. In fact, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this, scriptures teach us that God sometimes answers our prayer by allowing things to become much worse before they become better. He may sometimes do the opposite of what we anticipate, yet it is a fundamental principle in life and the walk of faith that we must always be prepared for the unexpected when we are dealing with God. Can I get an amen? Yeah, that's the truth, isn't it? Would Zacharias and Elizabeth experience God's peace if they believed that God was answering their prayers somehow in his way someday? Yeah, they would experience peace, wouldn't they? So the way I have found helpful for me when I'm waiting on God for the answer to prayers, because let's face it, that's a common experience for a child of God. We're all going to wait. I mean, the Bible says over and over again, blessed are those that wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait on the Lord. I mean, that's just part and parcel to being a child of God, isn't it? And so what I find is a blessing for me as I wait on the Lord is to pray through passages of Scripture, like the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever taken the Lord's Prayer and just broken it down word by word or phrase by phrase and just prayed through that? Or if you're encountering a spiritual battle in your life, go through the armor of God and break that down and pray through each piece of the armor. Or even the 23rd Psalm is a wonderful passage to just pray through. And it helps me as I'm waiting on the Lord. The third point in our knowing peace is to know your prayers are valued. Know that your prayers have value, that they're valued before God. Look at verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. For behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the Lord and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed and went to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people." How shall I know that? That's what Zacharias asked the angel. How am I going to know this? How do I know that this is really going to happen? And I love the honesty of Zacharias. I mean, yes, he got chastened for his lack of faith, but he was just being honest. It's like, how can I believe such incredible news? I mean, he probably had given up thinking he was ever going to have a child, okay? We don't know how old he was, but he was old enough to think that neither he nor Elizabeth were going to have children. And so here he's like, how am I going to know this? But think about this. He's standing, looking face to face at an angel who's talking to him, and he's asking, how am I going to know this? And what's the answer the angel gives? Do you see that? Verse 19. The angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Oh, what does that have to do with how I'm going to know the answer? Because I don't even believe it, and you're standing in front of me, and you're just telling me you're standing in the presence of God, and I'm supposed to believe it now? He's like, I don't know. It doesn't really help me here. But the Bible tells us that every prayer that we have ever prayed is present now, actively in God's presence, right now. It tells me that your prayers, that my prayers, have value to God. The fact that they are active in his presence. All those prayers that Zacharias and Elizabeth prayed all those years were there in the presence of God all that time. Why? Because they had value to God. And Gabriel was sent to testify to that. He's saying to Zacharias, I am testifying to you. Your prayers have value. I stand in the presence of God, and I know your prayers. I've heard them. They are right now alive and active. He probably heard Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayers, and he's now sent, remember this passage, in God's perfect time to bring the answer to them. But they were answered long before that. But the timing wasn't yet for John the Baptist, their son, to come forth into the world. So since our prayers are valued by God, how might this truth change our prayer lives? If we really believe that our prayers have value, eternal value, you might say, before God in his presence, how might that change our prayer life? So I want to just kind of take a sidestep over here and talk about how we can maybe revitalize our prayer life. Because all of us would like to see our prayer life a little better. I don't know that I've ever talked to a Christian ever that says, I am just totally content with my prayer life. I'm just right there and it's perfect where I want it to be. We all feel like, gee, I wish my prayer life was a little better. Yeah, I kind of, so let's look at some ways that we can all just revitalize our prayer life. And these are ways that have helped me through the years, and different times I kind of focus on different aspects of this. But let's look at six things that I'm going to give you. One is pray through passages like the Lord's Prayer that I mentioned, like the armor of God, like Psalm 23, especially if you're like me that spends 2 hours a night sometimes just laying awake in bed praying. So, yeah, I pray for people and things, and sometimes I just start praying through the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23 or something. I just pray through it. Also, when you're going through a time where you're really focused on a prayer need that you have, ask the Lord for what I call an anchor scripture. An anchor scripture. If you've got a trial right now that you're facing in your life, you need an anchor scripture. What is that? It's a scripture that God gives you by the power of his Spirit, that you know that God has given you this as a promise to hang on to with all your might. It could be you're praying for someone for salvation. You want to have an anchor scripture for them regarding salvation. Or you could be you're praying for healing for yourself or someone else. You want an anchor scripture that you anchor to for healing. Or it could be for provision. You have something that's anchoring yourself to scripture. If you've got the paper notes on the back, I gave you some other kind of helpful prayer scripture references there. Those are good scripture references, just like anchor scriptures for us. Secondly, come to church early. Yeah, 8:30. Your first service people come a little early. You know why? Because we gather around, the servants and the staff gather around in a prayer circle at 8:30, and we pray for the morning together. That'll just help you. In fact, we do have people that come early on Sunday morning for three reasons. One, to get a cup of coffee and a donut. Secondly, to pray in our prayer circle, and then when we're done praying, they got kind of an extra 15 minutes or something to just fellowship and meet and greet people. So praying with other people will revitalize your prayer life. Thirdly, pray for people and for things you can't change. Instead of worrying about them or complaining about them, turn your worries and your complaints to prayers. That's what it says in Philippians 4, remember, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. How should we pray for our loved ones? You know, when I pray for my loved ones that don't know Christ for salvation, I really boil my prayer down to one thing. The one thing I pray for people in salvation is that they would come to a personal encounter and know God personally. That I don't pray for all the other stuff, because all the other stuff will take care of itself once they encounter Christ, really encounter Christ. Look at your life. When you encounter God, was everything perfect in your life? No. It didn't matter. When you encounter God truly, everything else will take care of itself. That is, to me, central. Fourth, pray together with your spouse or a friend. I am surprised how many couples don't pray together. It's so important. If you're married, if you're a couple, if you're dating, pray together with your spouse, and especially your future spouse as well. But even friends, pray together with a girlfriend or a guy friend, and just seek the Lord together. Praying with someone else will revitalize your prayer life. Fifth, set a time and a location for prayer. Now remember, Pastor Aaron talked about this already in one of his previous knowing messages. He talked about having the same point, the same place, and the same passage. Remember that? Having the same point, meaning having a regular time for your devotion, a regular time when you meet with God. That's important for our lives. And having the same place where we have kind of that devotion time, the place where we meet the Lord, and the same passage, meaning that read through, we were encouraged, remember he encouraged us to read through a book at a time, not just a few verses here and then shotgun over here, but read consistently through a book, you know, line upon line, chapter upon chapter. And when you're done with a book, go to either the next book or another book in the Bible, but try to read them in their context as one book at a time. It might be that you need to turn the radio off, turn the computer off, put your phone out of arm's reach. I don't know, but take that time to set it aside for God. And the sixth thing, and believe it or not, it was over 20 years that I was a Christian before I read this in a book that revolutionized my prayer life. Take a passage, a point rather, out of the passage that you read, whether you read a few verses, whether you read a few chapters, it doesn't matter. But don't leave that time without taking a point that you sense God is speaking to you about and respond to him in prayer. I know it sounds simple. I didn't get that point. I missed it. So I'll give you a good example. In my devotion time several weeks ago, I actually read Luke chapter 1. It came up in my devotion reading. So as I read it, I remember the prayer point that I had in this passage that we have studied this morning. And I remember specifically my response to God after I read this passage was, "Oh Lord, would you shut my mouth? The times when I need to be silent, when I don't have faith to believe that you can or will do such and such, would you just shut my mouth from saying stupid things? In fact, Lord, I remember saying, Lord, shut my mouth from saying a lot of stupid things, because there's times when I need to just learn to be quiet and not say anything. Lord, would you teach me? Would you shut my mouth?" So that was my prayer point, personally, in my devotion time with God. So those six things will help us revitalize our relationship with God. But we're told that our prayers actually go up to God into the very throne room of heaven. I want to take you there real quickly before we close. In Revelation chapter 5, you remember this is the throne room chapter. Chapter 4 and 5, we see things that are happening right there in the throne room of God. And at one point, there's that scroll, the seven-sealed scroll. And John is weeping. Who's going to be worthy to take the scroll from the hand of the Father, right? And we found one worthy, the Lamb of God. And it says in verse 8, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense." So remember, this is in the throne room, and these creatures and the 24 elders, and they have these golden bowls of incense, and it says, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers are right now incense in golden bowls before our God and Father. And Jesus Christ and the angels in heaven, they're all gathered there. They're not wasted. They haven't been blown away like the wind has blown things away this morning. But they are there treasured in golden, not clay pots, but golden bowls because they have value to God. In chapter 8 of Revelation, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands." So your prayers, my prayers, they have value in God's presence. They are treasured in bowls, golden bowls. It all comes back down to what we began with this morning. Remember Isaiah 26:3. Do you want to know peace? Well, he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. And you know your prayers are heard, you know your prayers are answered, and you know your prayers are valued. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you would value the words of our mouths, the meditation of our heart, so much that you would keep it and treasure it for years, for decades, for centuries, maybe for all time. Lord, help us to gain faith, to believe these things that you tell us in your word, that we might also experience and know the wonderful peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.